This is Emergency Medicine Match Advice, sponsored by Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, a podcast series designed to help medical students and residents strategically navigate the process of applying for residency in emergency medicine or to EM-sponsored fellowship programs. I'm your host, Mike Gisanti from Stanford University. Let's get started. Welcome to Emergency Medicine Match Advice, our Google Hangout web series sponsored by Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, and its editor-in-chief, our Wonder Woman of Emergency Medicine, Dr. Michelle Lin from the University of California, San Francisco. Hello, Michelle.
Woo! Hello. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see the movie. How appropriate. Thank you for that introduction.
I know. If you're watching this in future years, it's opening this weekend. Just saying. All right, so we're back, students, with a very special episode, one to prep the students applying this summer for the newest addition to the application process. This is EM Match Advice for the AAMC Standardized Video Interview Project. That's a mouthful of a title. But to offer their sage advice on the newest portion of the residency application process is a truly outstanding panel of experts. We're welcoming Mrs. Renee Overton from the American Association of Medical Colleges. Hello, Renee.
Good afternoon, Michael. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Our program director on the panel today is Dr. Rebecca Bavilek from UCLA Ronald Reagan Olive View Medical Center. There's lots of schools there. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, it's so great to be here. Yes, we have a lot of sites, so a lot of letters there, but I'm really happy to be here today.
And another VIP on our panel today, I can't say the only VIP, but a lot of VIPs, is Dr. Rahul Patwari. He is Assistant Dean of the Clinical Curriculum at Rush Medical College in Chicago, but importantly, this year's President of the Clerkship Directors in Emergency Medicine. Hi, Rahul.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So the SVI, the Standardized Video Interview, is the newest addition to the residency application process. And for this year, it is just for those applying to emergency medicine. So in summer 2016, last summer, we're taping this in summer 2017 for those watching this in future years. In 2016, students applying for the March 2017 match in emergency medicine had the opportunity to participate in the first validation stage of this project, which Mrs. Overton's going to discuss in detail in a few minutes. For this upcoming 2018 match cycle, those applying to emergency medicine will complete the SVI in the next few months during the summer of 2017. And this fall 2017, emergency medicine program directors will have access to these results as part of the application portfolio for each candidate. We are still in another pilot year for this project, as we'll learn in our discussion. So there's still much to be learned about the implementation phase of the SVI. Specifically, how will data that results from these video interviews be used by our program directors in the screening of and ranking of applicants? And importantly, should our medical students prepare in any specific manner? But much is known from last year's pilot, as we're going to learn. A lot of rich information concerning the rating system and its validation process. Findings, I think, that will reassure students, their faculty advisors, and deans alike. So that's what we're here to discuss today on EM Match Advice. The point of today's episode is twofold. The first is to provide context for students who are applying in this year's 2018 match cycle and beyond, and then to discuss the future expansion of the project, assuming that this year will continue to produce results that are viewed as successful from the perspective of the AAMC. Remember, this video recording and podcast that will go live on the ALEM website and live in perpetuity for many years past this upcoming match season. So I'd like to direct our panelists' comments not only to this particular match season, but to future students who will be participating well after the pilot has completed. So with that, let's start with our guest from the American Association of Medical Colleges, the Queen Bee of the AAMC, Mrs. Renee Overton is here. Thanks for joining us, Renee. What I'd like to start with is maybe your broad overview of the SVI project. Why did the AAMC embark on this study?
Well, thank you, Michael. And the SVI project, or the Standardized Video Interview Project, is really a subset of a number of initiatives that the AAMC has begun. About 2 years ago, the association determined that it wanted to have a bigger impact on the graduate medical education. And so they started this initiative for optimizing graduate medical education, of which many were concerned about the transition to residency. And so we put a great deal of our resources and efforts in various tools and resources to advance the transition to residency. The standardized video interview is one of those tools. And over the past year, we've been working to help applicants and programs share better information about themselves. With regard to the standardized video interview, we want to help programs to collect standardized objective information about applicants, information that's not currently available in the ARIS application, and use that information to identify applicants that they wouldn't normally identify for possibly coming in for interviews or in their rank order list. So at this point, that's one of the primary focuses of the project and why we've engaged in it. We want to make sure that applicants get an opportunity to share information that's not normally available, but also programs have information that can help them make better decisions about who they invite for their interviews.
And specifically, what domains are being covered in these questions that aren't otherwise covered, in your opinion, on the ARIS application as it currently stands?
Yeah, we decided to focus the standardized video interview on two main areas: interpersonal and communication skills, as well as behaviors and professionalism. So the interview that is set up is designed to capture information about those two major areas.
Great. And I alluded to this in my introduction, but this project began last year and this is a multi-year implementation. So can you talk to us a little bit about the overall timeline, and then we'll talk specifically about this upcoming summer's application timeline?
Well, I'll start with the research year. And as you indicated before, we kicked off the project last year with a research study where we had applicants to volunteer to complete the standardized video interview. We received that information. The information was rated, and we used that information to really assess the tool. And so we wanted to make sure that the tool was reliable and valid, that we had heard from the community that there were some concerns about bias and fairness in the process. So we wanted to make sure that the tool was evaluated against those concerns to ensure that it was going to be a value add for the process. And so we've done that, and I'm happy to report that the information that we received so far from the research has been very encouraging. We found that there was great inter-rater reliability with regard to the study. And with regard to the group differences and the fairness, we found that there were no major differences with regard to gender, race and ethnicity, as well as application types. And when we talk about application types, we're talking about USMDs versus USDO applicants versus USIMGs versus foreign medical graduates. So overall, we found the information to be very helpful and encouraging, and it helped us to think about what we'd be doing in the next cycle.
Okay, just to be clear, when you talk about the tool, the students should understand this is the scoring rubric. So the students, we're going to hear all the details on how students should complete the interview in a few minutes. But in general, a student answers an interview question and someone will rate that question according to a scoring rubric. And that's what you mean by tool, correct?
Yes. Yeah. The scoring rubric is designed based on the academic behaviors of applicants, and it's anchored based on the two areas that we're focusing on, interpersonal communication skills, as well as professionalism. So we've invited raters to come in and evaluate the applicants. We've trained them on unconscious bias. We trained them on what they should be getting out of the standardized video interview. And we also trained them on how to integrate the scoring rubric. And so they use that information to assess the applicants. Applicants for each question are assessed based on a score of 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest. Each question is given a score. And at the end of the interview, the 6 scores, all the scores for each score is totaled together. And that's how you end up with the total score for the SVI.
Great. I'll talk MedEd terms and words like tools and rubrics all day with you, but I think we should probably take off our researcher hat and make sure that we're saying tools and rubrics in the ways that folks understand them. So last year, then, to clarify, that tool, those scores and the anchors related to the scores were validated. And this year, what are you hoping to gain from data in this cycle? Because this is not a full rollout to everyone in every specialty. This is still just an emergency medicine for specific reasons.
Yeah, the information that we received from the research study was very helpful, as I stated earlier, in helping us to validate the tool. But one of the most important aspects of determining the long-term viability of the standardized video interview is actually getting the tool in the hands of program directors and giving them an opportunity to assess it in their own environment to see how it stacks up in their process of evaluating students. So the operational pilot that we're implementing for this upcoming year will give us an opportunity to allow program directors to get the standardized video interview and determine how they might use it in their process. And we're hoping that it will provide some value add to them, number one, in providing information that is not currently available, at least in a standardized and objective format, but also helping us to determine whether the information that they are receiving is helping them to identify applicants that they wouldn't ordinarily invite for an interview. For example, we know that programs often use the board scores as one of their factors in determining who they invite for interviews. We believe that the standardized video interview is getting to different information that would be helpful to programs, and more importantly, will help programs see how that applicant might serve in their program. And so our hope is that it will be a value add in that regard.
So that's really interesting. So last year's research study was, does the tool perform in a valid manner? There's no bias. It's trying to capture the data that it's trying to capture. This year, given a valid instrument, will it change the behavior of the program directors and make selection different in whatever positive, meaningful way that you're hoping for? Perfect.
Yes,
all right. And then once you know that, then potentially this is going to get rolled out across all specialties in future iterations.
That's the hope, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Our goal is to look at the data that we receive from each year. For example, last year at the end of the research cycle, we knew that we needed additional information to be able to assess the tool, which is why we decided to go with the operational pilot. Once we get the information from the operational pilot, as well as information from the program directors who participated in the operational pilot and the applicants as well, we'll be able to make a determination about the tool as to whether we'll move forward. Our hope is that we will, but we want to make sure that we get the information and evaluate it in a way that will be meaningful and will be supported by the community.
Outstanding. All right. Well, let's switch gears. I'm going to turn this over to Michelle, who I think is going to ask all the nuts and bolts questions that the students are really most interested in. Why don't we change gears and go that way?
Absolutely. Well, those are fantastic questions. And speaking from someone who loves to do innovation, it sounds like this project is actually really quite innovative in that you always ask yourself, does an innovation actually address a problem that actually does not exist? Like, is it even worthwhile doing? And it sounds like we're trying to build something that addresses that interpersonal and professionalism piece that seems to be missing from the dean's letter, for instance. You know, everyone's like glowingly, amazingly professional. You're like, I can't make anything of that. And so it is an interesting another data piece to add in. But for me, I'm a very practical, tangible person. And thinking from the possibly panicked medical student right now who's applying to this process, like, help me think this out. Like, give me a sense of the timeline. Like, should I be panicked now? Do I need to be panicked in a month? Like, when should I turn the panic switch on? And what does the year look like for me?
Well, hopefully you won't be too panicked, because I think you'll be able to prepare for what's going to be coming. But actually, the standardized video interview will kick off next week. Applicants will have an opportunity to begin completing the standardized video interview beginning on June 6th. They will be able to go into the ARIS system like they normally do to start the application process. They will answer a question indicating that they're applying in emergency medicine. As Michael indicated, it's not being made available broadly. It's only for emergency medicine. So applicants who are interested in emergency medicine will indicate yes, and they will get an invitation to complete the interview. They will have roughly 6 weeks to complete the interview from June 6th to July 31st. And so once they've done that, they can move on to other things.
That is wonderful to hear. So it sounds like it's a brief limited time, potentially just June and July. And you know, as a student, I'm going to try to game the system as much as possible. Like, do I schedule interviews beginning it or the end of the cycle? Tell me, should I be planning for this on July 29th to record and send? Should I? What's the thought process on this?
Well, we've given some thought to applicants because they're very industrious in trying to game the system. But the interview questions, we have a very deep bank of interview questions. So applicants won't know which questions they're getting. Some applicants were thinking that everyone was going to be presented with the same 6 questions. That will not be the case. Applicants will not know which questions they will be receiving. And so whether they decide to complete the interview at the beginning or at the end will not provide much of an advantage to them. We encourage them to complete the interview as quickly as possible, because we know that with busy applicants, things happen and you don't want to be caught at the last minute and not have your interview completed. So they have the 6 weeks to do it, but we want them to do it as quickly as possible.
Perfect. That's a great answer. And so Can I even talk a little bit more operations? Are we talking about like you dial up the AAMC and you FaceTime them? What does this interface kind of look like?
Well, it's a little different if you are familiar with FaceTime or Skype, where you have that two-way communication. Normally, you're talking with someone and they're responding to you. With the standardized video interview, it's a little different. It's a one-way communication. So the applicant is really speaking into their computer. The tools that they can use to complete the standardized video interview include their own computer. They can use a laptop. They can use a tablet or a phone. Either one of those would be permissible for them to use. Once they have the technology and they receive the link from the AAMC and our vendor, HireVue, who will be administering the interview, they would use their technology to go into the system. They will have practice questions. So the one good thing about the HireVue system is that it allows applicants to take as many practice questions as they want to get acclimated to this one-way interviewing. I know when I took it the first time, it took a couple of tries of questions before I became fully acclimated with it. So with the current system, they can do it as many times as they want, and they can do it any time they want. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And how many questions are we talking about? Like, do we need to take a nap and like eat a full meal? Like, how long of a day are we expecting of questions?
It's a very short interview, Michelle. We have six questions that applicants will be asked. Three questions will be around interpersonal and communication skills, and three questions will be around professionalism. Applicants will be given 3 minutes to respond to the question, but what it will appear to them in a text-based manner. So they will see the question. They'll have 30 seconds to read the question and start to formulate their response. And again, they'll have 3 minutes to respond to each question. So the full interview itself is designed to be about 21 minutes.
Great. You know, whenever you record videos, like what was that? Was it BBC where they had the mother and child rolled into the interview? Like, what happens if something unexpected? I've seen dogs pop up in the interviews. Do they have a chance to re-record them? Can they do a one-time do-over? Like, what are the rules on that? Or if your tech goes wrong?
Unfortunately, they won't have do-overs. That's one of the reasons why we stress applicants completing the technology check in advance of completing the interview. Once they go into the HireVue system, they can do the technology check where it checks their microphone, it checks their visual, they make sure that everything is aligned appropriately. And we also advise applicants to make sure that when they're taking this, when they're doing the technology check and they're completing the interview, that they do it in an area that is distraction free so that they won't have those interruptions. And it helps them to be more relaxed and to just focus on completing the interview.
Fair enough. Well, I bet you that guy on BBC thought also it was a distraction-free room, but life happens. So, but that's great. I kind of wanted to open this up to the rest of the panel, and I would love to hear how you're processing all this from the clerkship director side and from the program director side. What do you guys think? And maybe let's start with Rahul on his thoughts on this.
Yeah. So, Renee, thanks for sharing. How many tries, I just wonder, did it take you to feel comfortable recording this?
Well, it took me 3 tries. Each try, you know, they give you a question and you get to respond to it. You get to see yourself completing the interview. So that way you can make some course corrections if you need to. And then you have another opportunity. But it's unlimited number of tries. For me, it took 3. For some people, it may only take 1 try. But then for others, it may take 6 or 7. So that's the beauty of the system that we have designed with the HireVue, is that they can take as many tries as they feel comfortable that they're ready to take the real interview.
So we should point out, I think when we keep speaking about HireVue, HireVue is a proprietary website, it's a separate company from the AAMC. And earlier you said, when you open ARIS and you indicate, there'll be a question that says, are you applying to emergency medicine? And if you click yes, you'll receive an interview invitation. And that's coming by email from HireVue, correct? Not from
that
the AAMC.
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure folks know this invitation comes from this HireVue group, and click on that and you follow the instructions.
That's correct.
All right. Back to the questions, Rahul.
So that brings up another question. Let's say that I'm applying to emergency medicine and I haven't really made up my mind yet and I don't click that box, but then somewhere through the process, I decide I want to go into emergency medicine. What should I do in that case?
Well, in that case, if you decide late that you're wanting to apply in emergency medicine, Rahul, what you would do is go back into the ARIS system. If you are unsure at the time, we recommend that applicants if they're considering emergency medicine and perhaps another specialty, we recommend that applicants go ahead and click yes. There's no disadvantage to applicants if they decide to take the interview and then later decide not to go into emergency medicine. The interview would just never go anywhere. But if they just were not considering emergency medicine initially, but then perhaps complete a clerkship or get some additional information and they want to go back into the system, they go back into the AERA system, they can change their response from no to yes, and then they will receive an invitation from HireVue to complete the interview as long as they've done that before the deadline, which is July 31st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time.
So it's really important for us to counsel our students that if there's any chance that they're going into emergency medicine, that they click that box and they do those interviews before that time runs out.
Yes, we do have an exceptions process, but it's primarily for exceptions, not because someone is making a late decision, but there could have been, you know, someone called into military duty or someone who had an illness that spanned the period of time where the interviews are available for completion. So we do have that available, but we encourage applicants to interview as quickly as possible.
Do you have any advice on what they should wear or anything in that respect? Because this is going to be such a new process. I think it's talking to your phone or your computer is a bit more informal than talking to someone sitting across the desk from you. And so is there a dress code that they should be following?
Well, there isn't a dress code that the AAMC has established, Rahul, but what we are suggesting and recommending to applicants is that they prepare for this standardized video interview in the same manner in which they would prepare for an in-person interview. So in terms of how they dress, what they do to prepare for the interview, it would be along the same lines as an in-person interview. But we also have a host of information on our website. We have, for applicants applying using the standardized video interview that I highly recommend that applicants review, we also have a document called the Standardized Video Interview Essentials. And it provides all the T's and C's about the interview process. It walks them through the entire process. It gives them suggestions. We recommend that applicants review both those documents before they complete the interview.
I do think you raise a good point, Rahul, right? Like, I think of all of the applications where I've seen photos of someone that they snap with their phone and they're at the beach. And then every other applicant submits a professional headshot that was shot at, in some sort of a institutional or school function. And they just look different, right? As a program director, you're like, well, that person on the beach probably has wellness and wow, they have great board scores, but is that like the most professional way that they should be applying for a job? Like, students, remember, this is a job interview. Applying residency is a job interview. So how you present yourself and prepare yourself, I think, you know, whether the raters use that in their scoring rubric or not, I think there are some biases just from employer, potential employee perspectives that you have to keep in mind. Rebecca, I would love to hear your thoughts on how you're going to use this, right? Yes. So let's think about it. Students in the next 8 weeks complete these interviews and it gets scored, and a score and raw video footage both get submitted to you via the program director side of ARIS effective September 15th. You have 1,000 applicants to UCLA, probably 1,500 applicants to UCLA, and everybody has scores and videos. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah, the million-dollar question, right? What are program directors going to do with this information? And I think true to the tradition of our specialty, we're now trailblazers in this initiative, right? So we were one of the first to adopt milestones. Now we're going to be the first to adopt the SVI. And I mean, I want to think that the AMC picks us because we're the best at being trailblazers. But I think that it may be adaptability, but I think that really we're going to be on an adventure with this as well. You know, really, we haven't had access to these scores yet. And I think it's going to be one more piece of information that we take into account when we look. Thinking about the task of viewing 20 minutes of interview for every single one of our applications that comes through, comes through ERAS, just a lot of information. So, I think that there probably will be, just like we look at some, you know, every program has their own special screening process, whatever that information is. Some, like you mentioned, they do use board scores. Some want to look at some of the research that students have done or what their rotations are, what their grades are. And I think that every program is a little bit different, and it probably will incorporate into that. And then, you know, I look at it as the things that it's trying to get at, right? Interpersonal skills, professionalism, those are really, really important to me as a program director. And I think probably most of everybody out there. So if this really does correlate with that, I could see in future years, you know, how that would be really important. I think this time around, we're really going to look at, does it really correlate with my personal experience when I invite this person to come interview? Because, you know, we haven't seen it yet. So I think that's probably the initial way. We'll look at those scores. We'll invite people. But I also think that there may be some people that I was maybe thinking about interviewing. The rest of their application is good. And I pull up that interview and they do really great. They're clearly professional. They have a lot of communication skills. I might decide to interview that person when I might not have otherwise done so. So I think that those are some of the ways that we'll look at it. And I guess one of the questions that I had for Renee is, are you looking at this then in future years? Because I think that from the program director's perspective, this year is experimental for us, and we're not quite sure how we're going to use it. So is AMC going to look at how we maybe incorporate it for the first year and then how that bears out over subsequent years?
Yes, I think that's a very excellent point, Rebecca. One of the things that we're definitely looking to receive from program directors are how they're using the tool and what could be done to make it more effective for them going forward. We recognize that programs probably won't have a clear picture of how they might integrate them for the first year. But as you go through the process this year, my hope is that you'll start to figure out how you might be able to use the standardized video interview, what that means to your program. Does it really add value to your selection process? Is it something that you found helpful in making determinations about who you invited in for your interview? And then, yes, we'll take the information that you all provide us at the end of the year and make determinations about how we move forward. We've had some preliminary conversations with program directors who says that, yeah, this first year, we have to figure out, we have to calibrate it, we have to make sure that it equates with the way we are thinking about it. And then after that, we'll determine how to move forward. So we'll definitely take that into consideration as we decide what the next steps will be.
Well, you know, like a scientist, right? This is another study that may or may not change your practice, right? This is the practice changing question for program directors. Will our usual practice, our usual methods for screening applicants be substantively different or not? And I think the students listening to this or watching this online, I would suspect all of them are certainly stressed out about this to the degree that this is another thing that could cause me to not get an interview. But I think from this discussion, from Rebecca's questions or Renee's answers, students should be really encouraged that, one, we're scientists. We don't change our practice just because we have one new piece of data until we really understand how that data operates in real life. So, you know, program directors are reasonable people. That's point number one. Point number two, though, is that it could potentially really help the people who are best suited for our specialty. I mean, to Rebecca's point, you know, if you have outstanding interpersonal skills and you're professional, like, that's what we want at 3 a.m, right? Like, that's the 3 a.m. test that we talk about on these hangouts all the time. Those are the people best suited in the middle of the night to take care of someone who is dying, right? I mean, your PORT scores are important then, but gosh, how you treat someone when they're at their most vulnerable, that is what makes or breaks an emergency physician, and certainly is the intangible that's hard to otherwise gather from the file. That's what I'm hearing from Rebecca's answer, but maybe I'm putting more words in her mouth than she did.
No, I mean, I think that's a fair thing. I have a question, another question, if I may, is, you know, I know that a lot of the raters were trained on bias and recognizing unconscious bias. And I would ask, do you think that should I, for myself and my faculty, actually have them go through a process similar to that if they're going to be having access to the videos themselves? I mean, I understand the scores are standardized, but we have access to the actual video themselves. And was there any concern about that?
Actually, there is, Rebecca. And part of the participation on the part of programs, we're asking programs to not only indicate that they're interested in getting the scores and using them in this upcoming year, but we're going to offer training to all of the programs. And that's going to be one of the requirements for releasing the scores to a program, is to have them complete AAMC training. This training will include a module on unconscious bias, but it'll also include information about the scoring rubric and how the scores were evaluated, and to also give some sense of how we think the scores might be incorporated in the selection process. So yes, our hope is that not only will the program director take advantage of the available, we'd like everyone on the selection team to participate in the training. And we're going to make that available to everyone who has access to the scores.
One last question I have is, I know it's required for people that are applying in emergency medicine, but I think there's a little bit of confusion, maybe you can clarify, is required or not required? So their application will look complete even if they don't do the SVI, from what I understand. So some of the reading I've had is, yes, it's required, but programs actually can receive your application and it will still look complete even if you don't complete the SVI to emergency medicine. Can you clarify for me?
Yeah, well, in the ERA system, we don't normally determine what complete means because that changes from program to program. But in talking to the court leadership, we agreed to make the standardized video interview a requirement of the application process. So applicants, we're encouraging all applicants to take it. All programs will have to determine what complete means for them. So we're not telling a program just because the standardized video interview isn't there that they should not consider that applicant. We don't get into the decision-making process for programs. That's up to you all to decide. But we are encouraging applicants to complete it, and we would like programs to recommend that applicants complete it as well.
Rahul, what are we forgetting to ask, right? So you're the voice of the students at the moment, as the president of the clerkship directors. I was very positive a moment ago. What healthy skepticism should I have?
I did come into this with a bit of skepticism because it was such a new project and it was untested, and I didn't know what effect it would have on our students. And I've had the benefit of getting to see some of the intermediate results, and I was surprised at how the scores actually did capture what we thought that it would capture. If I was a student, I would be worried, I think, mostly about like what happens if I get a low score or what happens if I get a high score, and how does it affect my ability to get interviews or to get a residency spot. And I think we kind of answered that a little bit. A high score may help students who maybe don't have as good of the rest of their application, but this buoys them up and makes it a little bit, brings them to the foreground so that we can consider other things. A low score, I don't know how that would be interpreted. And I assume that's going to grow organically as we go through this. We're going to decide how it's going to work. I don't know if Renee or Rebecca, if you have any idea of what would happen with a low score on that.
I would defer to Rebecca because we're not making that determination as to how programs will determine how to use the scores.
Oh, always throwing the program directors under the bus. I see how it is. Okay. So, you know, I think it's yet to be determined really what a low score means until we really get more information about it. It's going to be, I think, like any other piece of the application process, right? Very few applicants. I mean, we're lucky to have some that have every single thing to be the very top. But, you know, some people have weaknesses in various parts of their application, and this may be one. That may be something that I pick up and I look at their interview myself and try to figure out where is that coming from, and then weigh that against the evidence of all the other things in their application. But, you know, I think it'd be premature for me right now to say, because I just don't know how it is, for me to say I wouldn't necessarily interview that person. Maybe that's something that, you know, we can redo this podcast or this video podcast in 5 years, and maybe I'll be able to give you more information on that. But right now, I don't really think that it will cause me not to interview somebody at this point in time.
Yeah, that'll be season 9 if Michelle continues to renew us each year. So that'll be to be determined. And one other question I think we have to cover before we close our discussion is cost. So Mrs. Overton, can you talk about the cost to students? I know that that is a concern for them.
Yes. And for this year, for the operational pilot, there is no cost to the students nor to the programs. Realistically, we're looking at determining what costs might be long term, but primarily we are focusing on whether this adds value to the process. We believe that if it does, then programs or departments would be willing to pay for the service. If it doesn't, then it's a process that won't continue to move forward.
Michelle, what thoughts do you have after hearing all this? I know that we went into this particular episode with you not having that much familiarity. So what are you hearing? Where's your mind?
Well, that's a bigger question, but
I know, our listeners have always wanted to know.
But on this topic itself, like I feel I'm just trying to get into the mindset of the student, because really, that frankly, this is what the video is for and the podcast is for, which is, okay, I actually would feel a little bit more reassured about what the process is, because it really is just an actual interview that you would have in the winter season, but a little earlier with the camera. It kind of feels the same to me. And I think it's used to the same degree, except to get an interview or not. But I feel like this is kind of an untested area, at least in this first year. It sounds like it's not something as much that you would stress about, because also program directors in the same boat of like, I don't know what to do with the data. We're not going to make any rash decisions. That's the sense I get. And so I do want to allay the students' fears that this does not sound like as big a deal as I think it is out there on the rumor trail and the interview trail. So I think I'm cautiously optimistic about this process.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think back to screening applications for 14 years as in my previous life, and you could have that student who had near honors across most clerkships and a really nice dean's letter who maybe had an average step one, right? And are you going to penalize that person for that one day? Perhaps that one day really is meaningful to many years of study. Maybe it's not. Maybe they had a bad day, right? And this is 18 minutes of footage. In that respect, I think the program directors will be quite reasonable. I think the students should believe in us, students. We'll believe in you.
Yeah.
Any final questions, Rebecca, Rahul?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to talk today and to ask Renee all these questions.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Good. All right. So we're going to close the episode. Renee, you have to be patient with us while we hear about the two programs represented on our panel. Neither of these schools have been on Match Advice before. So we're going to play the game, Tell Me Something I Don't Know About Your Program. And both of these programs, I know a lot about you. So let's start, Dr. Bavilek, by telling me something I don't know about UCLA, all of you.
Okay. Well, as you know, obviously, we're located in Los Angeles, and we have a lot of different sites at our excellent medical center. But what you might not know is that we actually have a residency band that includes the chair of our department, multiple people on our faculty, and our residents. And they actually performed this past year in a club at our residency retreat. So there may or may not be some YouTubes. You can look them up. But you didn't know that about our program.
I did not. And your residency retreat is in my favorite spot in the whole United States, Palm Springs, California, where I may or may not have time there as well. So that's awesome. You know, students, the UCLA Olive View program is an old and storied program. One of the places where grandfathers and grandmothers of our specialty walked the halls and did some amazing early meaningful research in emergency medicine, got some of the earliest funding dollars. And that was the beginning of their program. And it's just taken off from there. Their new chair trained there, Dr. Hendy, is a lovely, lovely person. And he has built a team of great folks who I would love to learn from. So students, absolutely check out UCLA, all of you. And I would have thrown this across town until about a month and a half ago, Rahul. I would have been in Chicago. So
I know.
Chicago, but now I'm out here. So Rahul, tell me something I don't know about the brand new program at Rush Medical College.
Yeah, you know, the weather is probably better where you are, especially when it comes to the wintertime. But as you said, we just started a program. We're going to have our first class this year, and we're really excited about it. Rush Medical College has been a college for, well, it's one of the earliest medical colleges in the country, with Benjamin Rush being one of the signers of the Declaration. And we reopened again after, we had to close, I think, after World War I or two, and then reopened again about 45 years ago. We became an emergency department in 2000, opened a new hospital in 2012, and now we feel like the crowning achievement of our department is to finally get a residency. And we're just really stoked to have that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone in Chicago had really just been waiting for you guys to get a program, and it's long overdue. Students, they've got some great infusion of young, enthusiastic, engaged faculty. You can imagine being a trailblazer to a new program, but one that's at a storied medical school, as Dr. Padwari says. Their new PD, Braden Hexum, great guy, used to be the clerkship director at Mount Sinai. He understands medical education. This is not a new rodeo for him. So students, check out Rush. They are doing everything right these days, and they do have a brand new hospital that looks like a big spaceship, and it's pretty awesome. And Chicago's great. So Michelle, final words of wisdom.
So appreciate all of the sage wisdom from the queen bee of the AAMC, which now that's how I'm going to know Renee now. I'm not even going to know her name. It'd be just like queen bee, and I'll just hug you from across the room. But thank you so much for joining us and allaying a lot of our fears and laying out kind of the how-tos, the nuts and bolts of this process. I think that has helped a lot for us.
Yeah, well, thanks to all of our analysts. Good luck, students. We're looking forward to seeing your videos.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Emergency Medicine Match Advice. You can view any of our episodes for free on Allium's YouTube channel, or if you prefer, listen to the episodes as Allium podcasts on SoundCloud. Also, check out summaries of our episodes as blog posts on Allium.com and in the publication A User's Guide to the Allium EM Match Advice series in the June 2017 issue of the Western Journal of Emergency Medicine. We love to hear from our listeners. Post your questions or comments for any of our episodes on Allium.com. Thanks for joining us.